One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Join our party line now. 1-800.
The Ed Hominem Attack Show.
Super big dick energy.
Super. But
did you have fun?
I had a blast.
I had a really good time.
I was exhausted.
Is 2/6 of the funniest gay comics?
Bisexual.
America's favorite bisexuals.
Is pussy work or pussy work?
Everybody pussy work! Yeah! Pussy work! Yeah! Pussy work!
The Ed Hominem Attack Show.
We think this Jew stuff is very funny.
All right, so
especially when you think about it. There's no good reason that Bird and Aladdin would get along.
I'll peck your eyes out!
Oh, goddamn.
You goddamn mongrel!
No!
Oh my god. Well, Adam, thanks for being on the last episode
of the Ed Hominem Attack Show.
Tell him I'm fucking coming!
Hello, America. Thank you for listening to Ad Hominem Radio. This is Chris Paul.
I don't like your jerk-off face, I don't like your jerk-off behavior, and I don't like you, jerk-off.
Here with Jeremy Shear.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt.
Tabitha Jones.
Where did you learn your trade, you stupid fucking cunt, you idiot?
And Kyle Honhorst.
I can see you right now in the kitchen, bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove.
Thank you for listening to Ad Hominem Radio.
You're welcome.
This is Chris Baugh here with Tabitha Jones.
Hey, it's me.
Old Tabsy. This is becoming a trend.
Yeah, yet again.
Jeremy's not here.
Jeremy has a very conveniently timed rehearsal.
Yeah, Kyle's not here, which is... Kyle's like Shemp. Like, we don't have to tell people he's not here. Like, he's just here.
It's like
sometimes.
It's
but
a treat.
Jeremy.
He's usually always here.
Yeah.
Just a lump on this old log that is Ad Hom.
Some would argue. I would argue without doing the math. Jeremy's been here the mostest.
Probably, yeah.
The longest. Jeremy, kind of, when we started the roast battles, like, he was just on them. Like, we just had him do one every month. And then he just weaseled his way into the whole situation.
Yeah, he just kept showing up.
We needed a buffoon to offset Ryan DiPerna and Chris Paul. Our smart guy bullshit.
And yeah, I mean, it worked. I mean, that's why we're still here, pretty much.
Yeah. The whole year Jeremy was gone, we did an episode that, like, Jeremy's leaving, and we didn't even record, like, the whole, like, 8 or 9 months he was gone, and then he was just back, and we're like, eh.
Jeremy's back. Oh, okay. Back to recording.
Didn't even bring it up.
Nah, he's just here.
We did a whole show for Jeremy's going away show.
This is it. Jeremy's gone.
And then he's there at the awards with us.
Jeremy Shear, the Brian Wilson of the Ad Hominem Attack Show. I'm gonna Mike Love It. I'm gonna sing us a song and old Jeremy's back.
We'll have to add, like, the 10-year anniversary. I'm gonna add, like, the Ad Hominem Attack Show with Jeremy Shear. So he's still, like, a co-star.
Jeremy Shear, while he will definitely die, and probably soon, will never die thanks to this podcast.
Well, I hope not. Let's just make this that we're really nice to him when he's not here.
Oh, yeah. We love Jeremy so much. And then he shows up, and we're like, what the fuck, Jeremy?
Yeah, Yeah, exactly.
That's what we do. That's how we do what we do.
Why would we be nice to him and to his face?
Yeah. I would rather be nice to him when he could never gain anything from it.
I think the point is we like the idea of Jeremy Shear more than we like Jeremy Shear.
So Dylan, even before I saw that Jeremy put in the chat last night, he was like, I'm not going to make it tomorrow. I didn't see that. And then this morning, when Dylan and I were talking, he's like, yeah, Jeremy said he wasn't going to make ad hom because we've got this rehearsal at 2. And I was like, oh, I'll put in the chat and see if, like, me and Chris will just do something. And Dylan was like, yeah. Last night, Jeremy was like, no, they'll probably still just, like, record something together. Like, they've been getting along real well lately. like a proud father. Like, just, like, so proud that, like, we're friends. And I'm like, we've been calling each other our besties for, like, years. It's like, oh, we just live 5 minutes down the road and I have time to, like, come over and do stuff now.
Yeah. Well, he like... oh, I hate his guts.
That's why I laughed so hard, because when I put in the chat, I'm like, Chris, are you doing a besties pod or skipping it this week? And Jeremy replied, and he's like, please still do a besties pod! Exclamation point! And I was like, aw, you dumb bitch.
He's got something, like, he likes to know that he's not needed.
It probably makes him feel better that we'll all be okay once he just melts into a pile of goo and ceases to exist.
Yeah, he doesn't die. He just kind of...
No, he's gonna...
Something will happen. Here's what's gonna happen is, like, 7 kids will murder him in his home in the sewer. And then 30 years later, he'll be back.
When Jeremy's done here, he will just congeal into some substance that will allow him to just, like, slip down the nearest toilet and work his way through the plumbing, and just wherever he ends up next, he will continue his legacy.
He'll reemerge like cicadas.
I was pissed because Jeremy threw away his call your crew, not the cops hat. And then when I was, like, ribbing him for it, he got all serious about it and being, like, crazy and shit. I'm like, maybe just, you know, it's not that deep, man. I just told you one time I wanted to take that hat and, like, wash it with this, like, TikTok, like, borax hack I saw. Like, that's it. Like, if you were getting rid of it, you could have at least given it to me for a week, and then I could have, like, soaked it in my bathtub and been like, gross, it was so nasty.
Yeah, that would have made a fun video.
Thank you. That was my favorite thing. There was, like, this thing going around on TikTok, and it's like, you fill your tub up with hot water, it's like OxyClean detergent, and then, like, borax, the laundry cleaner, and you, like, strip your laundry. So people were doing it with, like, rugs and stuff. You, like, soak it overnight, and, like, it just rips all of the grime and dirt and, like...
And then everybody goes, ew, look at exactly. The years of dirt.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, yeah, gross! And then, like, they wash it, and they're like, look, it's nice now. And I'm like, yes. And I press that little heart button, and I keep scrolling.
Well, and here's the compromise we have to make, then.
Okay.
Summer's coming.
Yeah.
We get a tub of water and borax, and we just put his whole body in it.
Put Jeremy in it. I think if he still has those pajama pants that he was wearing all last summer, we should throw those in.
The basketball shorts. Wasn't it basketball shorts?
There were basketball shorts. I'm thinking of... There's a pair of pajama pants he was wearing for a long time that were, like, all ripped in the legs and shit. He wore them to Sad Boys meetings a lot. And it was always like, man, just, like, a few more inches on those rips, and those are going to cease to be clothes and just be fabric.
He's gonna be one of those old dudes that like just sit around watching TV with their balls on the floor. And it's not even like a sexual thing. Like they're not getting off on everyone seeing their bits. They're just
unaware.
Like, they just don't care.
They just don't care. They're not wearing real pants.
Useless stuff is in the air.
How old do you think Jeremy's gonna get? Like,
oh no.
And I don't mean that. I don't mean that like age wise. I mean like, because there's like a saying like don't
attitude.
Let yeah, like don't let the old person in. I heard like an old lady say it once, about just being like, nah, you can't like let that attitude get in. And I can attest to that. I feel like I've seen that.
Well, I would argue that he's been cycling through different types of old people for years.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is like, how old do you think Jeremy's gonna get?
I think that we will be folding up a walker to put in the back of our car for him within 10 years.
Okay, that makes sense. We're going to see... Are we going to see Jeremy Shearer...
A colostomy bag?
No, I was going to say... I was going to ask the question, are we going to see Jeremy Shearer deteriorate right before our eyes? And then I realized we already are. And I was like, I don't need to ask.
You know, the old guy that was always cast as, like, the old Don? Like,
yeah.
In the 90s, that was the old... I can't remember his name.
Me neither, but I can see him in my brain.
Anthony LaPaglia?
Yeah.
I think he's going to get that kind of old.
Damn.
Like, he'll get, like, maybe an oxygen thing that he'll take out to smoke.
Yep, that's Jeremy. That's old person Jeremy.
Do you think that's his most likely death?
What do you...
Is that he ignites an oxygen machine.
Jesus. What if one day Jeremy's walking down the street here, and he gets like something falls out of a window and like bonks him on the head, and he just becomes a normal man.
That's like what he has, like he gets himself a routine.
Yeah.
And like gets up in the morning.
And he stuff. Like has hair like yours. Like normal man hair.
I don't know.
I couldn't imagine it.
I can't imagine him dying anywhere but a couch.
Wall Street, Jeremy.
What if it's a couch that falls out? That would make the most sense.
Imagine a couch falls out of a window, smashes Jeremy, and then his feet are sticking out like Wizard of Oz.
Oh, no. And, like, some new open micer comes along and takes his Etnas.
Jesus Christ.
Or Airwalks or whatever he's wearing now.
Who knows what he wears? I try not to look at his feet. I try not to consume too much Jeremy Shear.
Don't look down.
Don't look at any of them. His eyes are up here, and I don't want to look at those either.
Don't look down is a scathing satire about Jeremy's feet.
I like how we were like, we're going to be nice to Jeremy when he's not here, and we're just shitting all over him.
We just predicted how he's going to die.
Yeah, and we're like, he's an old man. He's disgusting. We have fun.
You know, that's probably the nicest we've been to him.
Probably, yeah. We're a lot meaner to his face, so, like,
yeah,
this is nice.
He'll hear this, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. He's going to, like, listen to it, and because he's going to be like, oh, those besties, they're at it again.
Yeah. I don't say anything about people I wouldn't say to them.
That's true.
But I'm a dick.
Ooh. So. We got a real
edgy.
Bitch.
I'm irreverent.
You're a real catty bitch.
I'm like Family Guy.
Damn.
Edgy.
There's a cutaway every 30 seconds.
Some might say politically incorrect.
Yeah, some
remember
might
when
say.
That was Bill Maher's show?
No, I don't.
Bill Maher, politically incorrect with Bill Maher.
I don't remember that, no.
Because in the 90s, politically correct was like for Christians.
Oh.
For like moms that hated drunks and married with children and stuff.
Okay. I don't know about that. I'm sorry. I was young in the 90s.
I don't know how political correctness turned into, like, don't call people gay.
Yeah.
They just kind of took it over.
Hillary Duff, she was out here saying, don't call things gay.
She was, like, one of the first PSAs about that, wasn't it? Wasn't Wanda Sykes in one, too?
Yes, she was. I just like the Hillary Duff one because she's just roasting this girl for wearing a skirt as a top.
It was pretty gay.
Yeah, it was pretty gay.
Yeah. I've had anal sex with men, and I think that top is gay.
Valid. Your point is valid.
I think it's not a bad gauge for stuff like that if people weren't using it to be mean, I guess. But yeah, Hillary Duff was first, and wasn't her sister in Napoleon Dynamite or something?
Yeah, she was.
Is that her sister with the side ponytail?
No, her sister was like the hot girl. She was Summer.
Oh, that was running against Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. Haley Duff.
Remember when...
Lay it on me.
Phil Cosby made fun of how Wanda Sykes talked.
No, I don't.
She was like, you know, just being Wanda Sykes.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, put the mic, like, walking around at an awards show and, you know, I think, like, roasting people a little bit or something. And she gave Cosby some shit and she put the mic to him. And he goes, we knew how to speak English. Yeah. And then we found out he raped 50 people.
Yeah. Fuck Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Stupid bitch. And that's someone I would hit.
Did you just do a callback to something we didn't record?
Oh, we didn't record that? Okay. Chris asked me if I hit my boyfriend, my fiance.
Fiance.
I do not hit my fiance. And not over mac and cheese, which is what I was upset about when we were discussing this. But I would hit Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'd hit one of those dudes from Love is Blind, too. There's, like, one of these dudes. Oh, my God. I'm hoping when Dylan and I go to Chicago, I run into this MF. I'm catching an assault charge. That bitch is going to hate fat women even more after he meets me.
It's funny because for the last 5 years, we've all been arguing whether it's okay to punch Nazis.
I think it's okay to just punch whoever you want. I think it is all right.
Yeah, as long as you're willing to pay the fines.
Yeah, if you're willing to deal with the consequences, ba-ba!
Throw them hands.
Throw them hands.
Throw them hands tab.
Even if you're, like, not punches, like, little, it's like a little slap. It's like, you dumb. Fuck you.
I think that's how you hit Bill Cosby. You just give him a little slap on the face.
Oh,
and
I'd fucking kick at his ankle.
I think you slap him and go, not cool.
Not cool.
Not cool. Not appreciated.
I would fucking roll one of his ankles. Get him on the ground. Have fun getting up, you old blind bitch.
It's always the clean comics.
Thank you.
And the dirty ones.
It's always the comics. Hey, I've done some bad shit too, let me tell you.
I wouldn't say in higher numbers than any other profession or
no, it's just
ever.
Kind of
there's
prevalent everywhere.
Yeah, it's just everywhere.
People just really like pushing boundaries and exerting power.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is. We solved it.
We did it. You're welcome.
We just
America.
Paraphrased what psychologists have been saying forever.
Chris Paw and Tabitha Jones.
We solved the rape crisis.
We solved every sexual assault crisis that's ever been around.
And I'll add this. Knock it off.
Hey, just stop it.
Cut it out.
Just knock that stuff off.
Think twice. Do maybe, something else.
Maybe go for a run. Have a cigarette.
Yeah. Go aggressively plunge a toilet.
Yeah. Maybe go, you can go just like, you know, you could just like...
Hang yourself.
I was going to say jerk off and make yourself come, but you could also hang yourself and jerk off and make yourself come.
Well, I think if it's about power, right, more than coming, they just go and hang themselves.
So they just, like, go and, like, fuck like a...
Run for office.
Fuck a turtle.
Yeah, I would say that you'd feel pretty powerful fucking a turtle.
That's what I was trying to convey.
Getting through that shell and everything.
I'm gonna the shell fuck the shit out of
you.
I
think they would get a taste for murder then.
Probably.
Although, I think if your dick's too small to murder a turtle, you're not... you should hang yourself. I think we just it's going to keep coming back to that.
It's just going to keep coming back to that. Get yourself out of the picture.
Imagine that being a gay... He's got that turtle-killing dick.
He's got a turtle-killing dick. A baseball bat.
I watched some Seth Rogen movies I've never seen before this week.
What did you watch?
Both of them with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I didn't realize there was a period... Mm-hmm. Where he was replaced James Franco for several movies.
I know 50-50.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one, but I know about
pretty
it.
Pretty good.
What was the other one?
The Last Night. It's a Christmas movie.
I also haven't seen that one.
The two of them and the dude, the Falcon, the new Captain America, Anthony Mackie.
Okay.
And they are like... best friends,
I remember
and his
seeing...
parents die the night before Christmas, mm-hmm. So, and this is, like, the last time they're gonna do it.
I remember seeing, like, a preview for that, and how'd you like that one?
It was pretty good.
Fun?
Both pretty good.
Okay.
I've realized that James Franco, easily replaceable.
Very much so.
Dave Franco could be quite a...
He really could.
But a James replacement.
I love me some Dave Franco.
Because so far, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, so far. Yet. We're waiting.
But I would say if you were going to do Pineapple Express 2, for example,
mm-hmm.
Just use Dave Franco.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Let him be the guy. He could do it. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine, Hollywood.
And then, but they did sort of make a pseudo sequel to it. I forget what. Well, they played with the idea in This Is the End.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was something else. They were in where it was like a joke that was like Pineapple Express 2 was like a background.
Yeah, I'm. It's ringing bells, but I can't remember what it was. This Is the End. I just love Danny McBride.
Yeah.
When he
comes back.
Oh, my God. I live for Danny McBride.
He turns it into, like, a Mad Max situation.
As one does. Oh, you get Channing Tatum as, like, your bondage dog? Hell yeah. That's the apocalypse I need. I would join that group in a heartbeat.
I think that... Danny McBride must have been their first pick for the character in The Walking Dead that, the guy with the mullet. That,
yeah.
I can't think of his name right now, though.
I like being able to, like, clock that. Did you ever see Observe and Report? That's another Seth Rogen movie. Where he's, like, the mall cop.
Yeah.
Danny McBride shows up as, like, a small, like, side character. But it's like it's either David Gordon Green or Jody Hill, one of the Danny McBride like co-writers for all of his like TV shows and stuff.
Evan Goldberg,
maybe.
No, that's Seth Rogen's
partner. Jody Hill is the guy that Danny McBride wrote like Vice Principals and Eastbound and Down with. I think he, like, directed Observe and Report and wrote it.
Maybe I need to find a guy to write with that doesn't say shit.
But you can tell, like, the Seth Rogen character, there's a lot that it's, like, it feels like this was, like, supposed to be a Danny McBride role. Like, the way
he,
like, the lines.
Seth ended up doing it.
And it's, like, a bigger, like, you know, like a bigger name at the time. And it's like, hey, we can get Seth Rogen to do this. Like, this is probably get like a little bit more exposure. That's all like an assumption, but like, there's definitely like, it's like, it's Seth Rogen giving us a Danny McBride performance.
I didn't know that when I watched it, but I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah. I had never seen it. I just watched it like maybe like 2 months ago.
Cause it came out the same year as the Paul Blart Mall Cop. And I was like, I didn't watch it for a long time. Cause I was like, yeah, figure it out, guys.
Yeah. And that too is, it was very much marketed as like wacky comedy, but like it gets very, he's like this like rejected like vigilante. Like he wants to be part of the police force, but like he's not good enough.
Yeah.
And like it gets kind of dark, and like I think people weren't like expecting that, and they were just like, "Oh, wacky like Seth Rogen movie," and like it didn't get as much like coverage as it should have.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because Danny McBride can pull off a way darker shit than Seth Rogen can. It feels like the story with Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Where Chris Farley would have been more comedic and less creepy than Jim Carrey, but it's a reverse Cable Guy.
Man, we could have gotten Farley Cable Guy. We could have gotten Farley Shrek.
Oh yeah, that was another one.
It was already in the works.
There's actually like test footage or something
with
out
his
there.
With his voiceover. Shrek was not Scottish until Mike Myers showed up.
Of course.
Do you see there's like a new Mike Myers movie coming out on Netflix?
No.
It looks real wacky and Mike Myers-y.
All those guys are getting Netflix deals now after Sandler.
Yep.
Even Sandler, like his Netflix stuff is like kind of lazy. It's like they're just getting whatever scripts and handing it.
Yeah.
To, you know.
I feel that.
Group of guys to make money. Some of them are okay. The David Spade one with the wrong Missy.
Okay, yeah. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that. I saw a lot of people dunking on it.
I thought it was okay.
You thought it was okay? I just remember me and Dylan being like sad that so many people were like really like shitting on it, because I can't remember the girl in it. Kate Mucci.
Yeah.
Kate Micucci.
The girl did a really good job.
Okay.
But the movie overall, it's like a very like trope that like, oh, the straight laced dude falls in love with the crazy girl.
Oh yeah. It's
and it's kinda like yeah. But,
Stiller
like,
and Aniston
that,
and Along Came Polly.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a Dharma and Greg situation.
Dharma, get down from there.
Which in real life, those both of those types of people are toxic as fuck.
Yep.
But it's funny for what it is.
Okay. I haven't watched a lot of the Netflix stuff. I saw like a few clips from like his Netflix special that I enjoyed. He does a Chris Farley tribute song that made me cry.
David Spade does guitar comedy in his special, or?
Oh, no, sorry. I was talking about Sandler.
Oh, okay.
I haven't watched much of Sandler's Netflix stuff.
I didn't know he did a special.
Yeah, he did a special, and he did like a really sweet Chris Farley tribute song.
Wouldn't it be weird if Seth Rogen wrote it?
Whoa.
It would be like funny people. I remember watching that, and I'd already been doing comedy for a while, and like this is insane. This is not.
There, a certain person that if I say a name, can we redact it? Can you give me a like cool bleep?
Why don't you just do a built-in bleep? Just bleep the name.
Okay, a certain person. Bleep. No, not even you know what I'm talking about. It was even before he did terrible things to me, it was a red flag that his favorite movie was Funny People.
Oh, I would think any comedian loving that movie would it be a red flag for all kinds of things.
It was the movie that made him want to do stand-up comedy.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Eminem hanging out at the open mics in that movie for some reason? Or was he like...
I don't know. I can't remember.
They had him in a couple of cameos.
I blocked that movie out because of that person. Like... Every time Dylan's like, you know, it's not, you know, maybe I might want to revisit that just to like, why? And I'm like, I won't, don't do it while I'm here.
I wonder, I mean, maybe it's like more accurate to the LA scene or something like that.
I could see that.
I don't know, but, yeah, it's just weird. Because, like, first of all, Adam Sandler, like, the celebrity character wouldn't hang out that much.
Yeah.
They would be like, very isolated if they did show
exactly.
up and bump everyone. They wouldn't be watching.
Yeah. I watched that new Pixar movie that a bunch of people are losing their mind about and being like, it's the devil. And, yeah, everyone's blown this shit out of proportion.
Who, okay, which side thinks it's the devil?
Like, okay, so the people that are normally, like, you know, like, Disney adults and shit like that?
Yeah.
People who are, like, super into Disney?
Yeah.
A lot of the times,
they're typically more conservative.
Yes.
Like, Christian folks.
Yes. So this new movie, Turning Red, it's about a 13-year-old girl. She is 13 years old. A big problem that they have is that, like, it's encouraging, like...
to have periods,
right? It's in like, it's like encouraging, like, going against what your parents say.
Oh.
And like being,
what is the movie about?
So the whole thing, she's set in Toronto in 2002. She's of like Chinese heritage. Her and her family run like her family's ancestral temple. And part of her family's ancestors was this, like, warrior lady that was, like, basically, like, a witch, basically. Like, she was, like, connected with red pandas. And she, like, during this war... made this spell that, like, she called upon, like, these gods to, like, protect her and her kids. And she, through that, got the ability to turn into a giant red panda and just, like, use that ability to fight off all these, like, armies and shit.
And her parents want her to not be a red panda.
Well, so the thing is, in that family, through, it's literally, basically correlating... Basically, when you start, your, like, your period, more or less, or when you become a woman in this family, you then harness the same power to turn into...
So it's a period allegory?
Essentially, it's an allegory for, like, puberty, more or less, of, like, when, like, you can harness this power to turn into a red panda whenever you want, more or less, but, like, when you first get it, when you have like these like out and like an outburst of emotion, she basically can't control it and she's just gonna turn to a fucking red panda.
It's like Teen Wolf.
Yeah, more or less. So people are being like, oh, this like one, oh, a 13-year-old having a period, oh no. Two, it's encouraging kids to rebel against their parents. Three, there's a bunch of people getting all bent out of shape about, like, the mysticism behind it. Because there's, like, a ritual to...
Oh, they're always there, yeah.
There's, like, a ritual to separate the red panda spirit from you. And so you aren't, like, burdened by this curse, more or less.
Oh, that promotes taking, like, hormones for if you're trans.
And that's out.
Trans.
And people are just, like... taking all these things that, like, you could literally... It's like, man, how many fucking murders and witches and spells and curses and shit have we seen in Disney movies before? But now, because it's a 13-year-old girl in her body and a lot of, like, Chinese-based heritage, you want to be afraid of it?
Yeah.
It's like, come the fuck on.
Isn't every Disney movie an allegory for periods?
More, I will say it for probably the seventh time I've said it in the last 5 minutes, more or less.
Like,
I just, I don't understand it. I just don't get these people that get so bent out of shape about the existence of, like...
Well, here's the problem, and because, like, it's, like, in the all the superhero stuff now, like, I watched a video, this guy was, like, complaining because the new Batman movie, they cast, like, Zoe Kravitz and the, who's the cop?
Oh,
Gordon,
I know,
but I forget the actor's name.
Yeah, I don't know that actor.
This guy's theory is they've everyone except for Batman has been replaced by all the good guys are black and all the villains are white in this movie, and yeah, so it's all of a sudden they're like, this shit is woke because they have like a Mexican Blue Beetle. Movie coming out.
It's like, it's the same
people. So this woke bullshit. It's like, that woke bullshit's been there from the beginning. Like, who the fuck do you think Rod Sterling was? Like, 60 years ago. Like, there's another, like, even, like, the more heady, like, sci-fi and stuff has always been, I forget the writer's name, but it was like the book about the Dresden bombings, but it involved like time travel.
Yeah.
Like they were censored so much back then, they had to do this shit through allegory.
Yeah.
And like it just became a part of storytelling. Like it's inherent to the whole fucking existence of sci-fi and shit that it's, you know, or fantasy that it's forward thinking.
Yeah.
And they are just noticing it now because, like, there's a black actor getting
a job. Exactly, yeah. with the Turning Red, like, Pixar thing, it's like, for me, it just boils down to, like, sorry, you're going to have to do some fucking parenting.
Yeah.
Like, literally, look at the movie, see what it's about. It's one of the few Pixar Disney movies that has a PG rating. It's parental guidance right there. If you fucking, if you're sitting your children down with shit.
Yeah.
And you're going to be fucking bent out of shape about the content of it. There's literally a rating right there that's telling you, hey, maybe there should be a little bit of parental guidance here. Maybe you should do a tiny bit of research so you're not blindsided by the fact that, oh my God, they show pads in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's not even like literally a box of just a box of pads. Her mom being like, you forgot your pads.
It's also, it's kind of nice, like it feels like a throwback, like like when it's not like liberals trying to boycott something, it just feels like, yeah, this is what they're talking about, like make America great again. Because, like, yeah, they had it out for Eminem and NWA in the 80s and, like, any, like, yeah, anything. They just make it cooler.
Yeah.
That's all they end up doing.
Exactly. It got me watching it, and I was like, yeah, this is what they're upset about? And it was, like, it really hit home for me because, like, it takes place in 2002. And, like, she's 13 years old in 2002. I was, like, 11 in 2002. And she's just, like, this fucking, like, anxious, worked up, like, I know what I'm doing. But also, like, it's just, like, drawing, like, manga, like, fan art of, like, the hot clerk at the convenience store. And just, like,
this
the way...
like a 13-year-old.
Yeah, it's a 13-year-old, yeah. And, like, the way they animated of just, like, her just, like, literally, like, there's a scene where, like, her and her friends are excited about something, and, like, even after the one girl stops talking, you can see her face, like, vibrating, like, with excitement, and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. That's exactly it.
When my daughter was 13, she had a, these are just like blackboard paint that you can just paint on a wall.
Yeah.
She had a section of her wall painted like that, and her and her friend drew a bunch of dicks on it and wrote Dick Town at the top.
Yeah, exactly.
So these parents are, like, not being very realistic.
Exactly, yeah.
To what kids even are, like, actually fucking dealing with
yep.
at 13.
100%. Sometimes they're turning into giant red pandas.
Yeah. Come yeah. home from school with a Japanese flag across their butt. Ridiculous. It's all the same, like, shit, though, that they've been doing the last few years with, mm-hmm. Like, the M&Ms. Fucking Tucker Carlson's been obsessed with... He's, like, mad that the M&Ms weren't sexy, but, like, the last time I checked in with him before that, it was something about Hunter Biden put M&Ms on his penis and, like, some sex tape or some shit.
What?
And, like, I've seen that tape, and I don't remember M&Ms. I think he's just making up, like, fantasies now.
Yeah, probably.
But also...
He's convinced himself it's real.
If Hunter Biden did, they were... Fucking, they were peanut M&Ms, let me tell you.
I just, you know, I can get it, though. Like, if I...
I'd say he could lay 3-4 peanut M&Ms across that bad boy.
if I don't want to fuck chocolate, I don't want to eat chocolate. So, like, I get it.
Yeah, it's, if anything, contributing to the obesity problem when you make those M&Ms all sexy.
Yeah, I just want to shove them in my fucking mouth.
I don't know what I feel like Tucker Carlson was... He watched a lot of porn to look for the Hunter Biden tape, first of all. And I'm sure that he, like, does already. You know, like, it's just because it's all an act. But, mm-hmm. like, this was, like, a hunker down... And look at these dicks till you find the president's son situation.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
He's got, like, his tie loosened and...
Sweating.
Chain smoking over the computer.
As one does.
I'm sure that when you're perusing gay foot porn, because that was supposed to be the thing with Hunter Biden, was that, so he's searching, like... Endlessly searching foot porn.
Good.
For the people.
Yeah.
For the news.
For America.
Because the people deserve to know.
About the gay foot porn.
And let me tell you. I think we've been over this. But Hunter Biden's dick, bigger than feet.
A word?
Also, it is a lady's feet. So...
That
I mean,
really
I,
means nothing.
Means very little to me.
That
but.
Means absolutely nothing, I say, as I hide my large feet.
So I wonder, like, in my mind, when Tucker Carlson finally sees the tape,
mm-hmm.
he's got to be, like, half upset, right? Like, fuck. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, what do you do in that situation? You just gotta come.
Like, you don't go on the TV, on national TV, and talk about the president's son's pecker that much without checking that bad boy out.
Why am I laughing so hard at the use of pecker?
Because I just, it like... Like, there was a tape of, like, somebody tried to confront Don Jr. in a restaurant or something.
Mm-hmm.
And all he was, ask Hunter Biden. They were, like, it was, like, something about, you know, like, getting a job just because you're the president's son.
Uh-huh.
And he was, like, still the president. And he's like, why don't you ask Hunter Biden? So, in my mind, every time these dudes say Hunter Biden, they're thinking of that big, thick, like, the... Because they all had to see, they all watched it. And uh-huh. you can't watch it and act like it's not beautiful dick.
I haven't seen it.
It's a nice dong. And so, like, if you talk about it that much without looking at it, that would be weird. So that's all I'm saying, is all these conservatives that talk about it nonstop, they know exactly what it looks like.
Damn.
And it's nothing to sneeze at.
Ugh, I'm out of data. I hope my phone can handle it.
As we, because we've, you know, on this program, when Ryan was on, we had Dong of the Week.
Oh, yes, we did. From the big dong himself.
Hunter Biden, it's the administration's dong.
Thank you for
it's
holding, AdHom listeners.
Ex-hamster, like, it's on porn.
Come on.
So, we've been looking for it, and we can't find it, but what I stumbled on that is kind of funny to me is it seems that some people have just recorded regular blowjob videos and titled them Hunter Biden Fuck Trump, so that when the Trump people are looking for Hunter Biden's sex tape, they find someone else's.
Damn.
With titled Fuck Trump.
I just want to see Hunter Biden's dick now.
It's going to be, I'm off till midnight today, so I'll...
You'll dig through the internet?
Yeah, I'll scour the internet again.
Thank you.
Because I did see, I'm sure we talked about it. I've been talking about it on Twitter for the better part of a year.
I'm late.
Late to the Hunter Biden's dick game.
I am, apparently.
Because I remember the comments were hilarious, because the first comment was Biden 2020.
God damn.
Just similar things to that. There are only a few, but yeah. At least the copy that was on X Hamster. Just one of those porn sites you only find when you're just doing a general Google search of disgusting things and looking around.
General.
So, April 2nd.
Are we already closing out?
Yeah, I think we're like close to an hour.
I didn't even get to talk about murder.
I'm pretty high today. Okay. I think we're, well, if we cut out the time that we...
That we searched and whatnot.
We're looking for that Moby Dick.
Well, I've been listening to this podcast about this lady whose husband cheated on her after 24 years, and then she murdered the lady he cheated on her with and killed herself. After, like, GPS tracking them and, like, secretly recording them and stuff. And after a few days of me listening to this podcast and being like, yeah, 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 this all kind of seems justified, I would probably snap like that if after years and years of marriage my husband cheated on me and then lied to me about it while I had definitive proof that he was cheating on me. But then I thought about the fact that in my worst days, I... definitely slept with some people's husbands. If I am finding this so easily justified, should I not just be very happy
that no one ever murdered you?
That no one ever murdered me.
Yeah, probably. I don't tend to blame the other person, because the worst that they're guilty of usually is having the same awful taste that I do. But in some cases, like, if you're a known comedian in a city that they also come from and they're well fucking aware of who you are, and, it's more out of spite, that I would murder both of them.
Yeah.
If I were gonna murder anyone.
I'm just saying, there was a good chunk of time where, I was infiltrating a marriage that probably, I mean... it ended.
Well, to me, yeah. One or the other of them is, like, something's not working out when that happens, usually. One way or the other. Or, you know.
So, yeah, it's just...
One of them's a fucking narcissist and doesn't care about people in real life.
It's just given me a lot to think about over this week. And, got me getting in touch with some people, being like, hey... probably pretty lucky with how this turned out, huh?
That never knew? Or, like, is this news to them all of a sudden when you're getting in touch?
No, just, like, getting in touch with like the dude I was fucking around with and being like, hey, been a while, how you doing? You okay?
Yeah, did you get murdered?
That's good. No, oh, you aren't with her anymore? Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm glad we're doing okay. But yeah, I'm just rolling around, both one, feeling lucky to be alive, and two, being like, you were out there playing with fire, you messy ass bitch.
Yeah, are any of those about husbands that, that were bi that didn't?
Because
I'll tell you what. It's always a married dude. Half of the people on Grindr, or more than half, are married people that aren't getting blowjobs at home.
Yeah.
And are just at a point where, like, they can justify, they don't think it counts as cheating if it's another guy.
That too, yeah.
There's a lot of that.
A lot of that. This one, this is an old school one. I met this guy in, like, 2009 on Chat Roulette.
Oh, Tabsy.
And yeah, it was. He looked like Zach Galifianakis. I was 18 years old.
Well, I would say we're getting too close to identifying people.
Hey, he doesn't look like that anymore.
I'll say this, most of the comedy scene looks like Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, no. Yeah, no one knows him. No one. No one here knows him. No, yeah, this was far before comedy for me. Far, far before comedy for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, people are awful.
Yeah. Yep. And I was really into how awful people could be for a while. Really got me going.
Yeah. No, I get it. I've been in situations where that's what we bonded over in the first place, and then I still act surprised when it goes the other direction.
Yep.
That awful always turns back on you.
Yep. Like I said, there's a reason I'm smoking again this week. I've just been thinking about a lot.
Several near-death experiences.
Several.
That are arguably justified.
Yeah. Honestly.
I still don't. Like I already said it, but like I typically don't. I wouldn't blame the outside person.
Yeah.
But, like I said,
that's
also,
you.
There's those situations where you're like, that motherfucker is well aware of.
I mean, yeah, I was to blame as well in many situations. I will not say that I was completely innocent.
Yeah.
Nah, I was pursuing things knowing damn well I should not be.
Okay. Well, that adds a pretty personal.
But that's the thing. In this like podcast I've been listening to about this case, like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, this woman knows that, like,
yeah,
she shouldn't be pursuing this.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I've been on both sides of that, and they're all uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's not a good place to be.
It's all just best left alone.
Yeah. It really is.
I don't know how to get out of this now.
From the Ad Hominem Attack Show, the Ad Hominem Radio, who the fuck are we? From Ad Hominem Radio to our dutiful listeners, just be happy with what you got. And if you're not, maybe end that.
If somebody else has got it, then maybe, yeah.
It's not yours.
Don't
try to take it.
But again, if it can be taken, it's, you know, that's on the person that's doing all the lying and shit.
Yeah. We're getting to the bottom of this shit. We're working it out. Just,
I would say it's irrational to go after the other person. But sometimes being irrational is justified.
Yeah, sometimes it's irrational to lay in wait in their house to shoot them in the face. Sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time.
All the time.
It's usually best to just move on.
Yep.
Rather than murder anyone.
Usually.
Take
that away from today's episode.
Any other? I watched the Chris Watts, the documentary on that one. Ugh. The Family Annihilator.
Yeah.
That dude, like, clearly knew. Well, first of all, I was like, there was a portion of it where I was like, okay, what happened to this guy? Like, because he's, like, a heavier dude and, like, you know, they should have video of him with his kids where, like, everything seems normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he gets, like, loses 65 pounds and,
yeah,
like, gets in shape and all of a sudden he's a murderer.
That's why you don't get in shape.
It's like that new confidence. I think we were talking about this before. New confidence is like new money.
Yep.
You just let it go to your head. You start annihilating families.
Whole families.
That's why I think it's best to stretch it out over several years and yo-yo a little bit.
A little bit at a time.
Yeah, but he just, like, he had, like, a new girlfriend, and then his wife went away over the summer for, like, 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's trying to portray to the cops, like, everything was cool. But, like, it was clearly not cool by the time everything happened. But I, like, from... So the only part of it that I, like... Because I, like, with work, like, bodies... Like, the idea of bodies and shit don't... There was someone was like, he's ruined all these lives. And, like, she's like, even the investigating officer retired shortly after from PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the one who had to, like, lead, like, getting the bodies out of the... He left, like, he stuffed his kids into an, like, opening about 8 inches wide into an oil drum.
Fuck.
And they said the cop that, like, had to get him out of there,
mm-hmm,
like, retired from PTSD. And I was like, fucking cops.
Should have called Chris Paul.
Yeah, because when we handle them for the cops, too, and they are usually, like, off to the side looking a little green and shit.
Yeah.
We're like, hey, pussies. But then, like, when he confesses to, like, it's, like, he's convicted, and then he confessed, like, months later, like, to how it really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just the idea that, like, the kid, like, it's his kids and, like, how he describes doing it and then, like, has to stuff them in that thing. That was, like, a fucking shiver. Like,
yeah,
my spine was, like, I was like, Jesus,
yeah,
fucking Christ.
Fuck.
April
2nd.
After the horrific murders. I think it's interesting. Like, it's not, like, I don't use the word for my job, but, like, fun.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, is your job fun? Like, no, I don't,
no,
like, it's sometimes, but, like, I don't want to use that word around normal people.
Yeah.
So I always say interest. It's interesting.
Interesting.
It's fascinating. I think it's okay to be fascinated with serial murderers.
Yeah.
And, these cases and stuff, but
I think they're fun.
I think when you're impressed,
yeah,
or wet, that's when it becomes
you're wet.
A huge statement about
when
you.
When you're gooshing,
when it's should be a red flag.
Yep.
April 2nd.
April 2nd at the Odeon, down that rabbit hole, baby.
In the rabbit hole, into the rabbit hole,
up your rabbit hole.
Was it up your rabbit hole? Get you some of that rabbit hole.
Yeah, give me some of that rabbit hole.
the lucky rabbit hole.
Ew.
No, it's the feet that are lucky.
Yeah.
Feet are gross.
I'm gonna carry around a lucky rabbit hole.
The roast battles return. And we're at the Odeon now.
It's gonna be dope.
For April. For May, we're doing the Rubber City Comedy Festival with our own Kyle Hahnhorst doing the Lord's work for Akron.
Doing the Lord's work.
That's what I like about Kyle, because no one else was like, hey, Akron is worthy of a festival. But Kyle thought it was.
Good for him.
So I'm sure it'll be a comedy festival that's better than the entire city of Akron deserves. And, I don't know. Fucking come to our shows.
Yeah, do it.
The fuck?
Bye. Let's
go. Bye. Tabitha, sign off.
Oh.
I feel like every week you forget that you do the sign off now.
I do. I was on top of it before. Let's think about this.
Don't be jealous. I was home all day chatting with hot babes.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.